A little bit different this week. That's actually a picture of what I saw when I was writing my sermon on Thursday before having a chance really to reflect much more deeply on what had happened. And it seems to me rather bizarre that this would be the scripture, Ephesians 6, on the armor of God in the face of what had happened down in Charleston this week. And so Friday morning went, I guess I got to rewrite the entire thing. And so here is track two, although Martin Luther did a much better job than I will ever do. You've raped our women. You are taking over the country. This is what Dylann Roof is reported to have said to a person who survived his terrorist attack on Emmanuel African and Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston this week. He had a goal. It was to start a race war. This, of all weeks, is the week that we deal with the armor of God and contemplate the nature of spiritual warfare. Now, you guys have known me for 12 years now, some of you longer. And you know, I'm not a demon under every rock kind of Christian. So much of the evil that we human beings are able to perpetrate on one another, we are quite capable to do on our own, thank you very much. At times like these, however, I am reminded that there are indeed malevolent spiritual forces out there which do not want human beings to live in peace or to seek righteousness or to be brought under the beauty of God's grace. There are malevolent spiritual forces which are crafty and devious and pose as angels of light. Forces which long to convince everyone, but even Jesus' followers, that the weapons of this world are precisely the weapons we need in order to destroy evil. Some of the most crafty of these can be seen in a popular line which comes out of the NRA. The only good thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. I can't think of a more horrible lie. I can't think of a lie which emerged more readily with cackling histrionics from the very pit of hell than that statement. Because it is the same lie, in fact, which Dylann Roof seems to have swallowed himself, hook, line, and sinker. See, he believes that all black people are the enemy and that he was going to stop them from taking over the country. He believed that the way to eradicate evil was with the weapons of this world. And once he believed that, it seems to have been all too easy for the devil to convince him he was the one wearing the white hat. And the innocents he murdered in a church were the real villains. Now look, the political debates over this terrorist attack have already begun. I've heard the rumblings of a renewed gun control skirmish were nothing if not predictable. People have, and correctly I might have, pointed out that how remarkable it is that the sole suspect of a terrorist attack was given even the opportunity to come quietly, when just last week police in Texas felt the need to escalate the level of violence when dealing with a 13-year-old bikini-clad black teenager whose only crime was going to a pool party in a predominantly white neighborhood. The Confederate battle flag, a symbol of white hatred and power for the very community which suffered this assault, continues to fly, and not only fly, but fly at full staff. Facebook is abuzz with both condemnations and defenses of this reality. And listen, these are conversations which need to happen. They must happen if this country is ever going to deal with and overcome its homegrown hatred and terrorism that it has produced and continues to produce to this very day. But if we think for an instant that this battle is merely yet another culture war skirmish in which impassioned soldiers heed the call of the whistle and climb over the walls of their trenches to gain a few meters for their side of the battle, then we are sadly mistaken. In fact, I think the devil cackles as loudly at our post-event culture war posturing as he does at Dylann Roof's acts of terrorism itself. Why? Because it's confirmation that we have utterly and completely missed the point. See, gathered here under the banner of our Savior, Jesus, we must remember that the real battle is not against flesh and blood. Those people who have different political opinions than each of us hold are not the enemy. They may be wrong, or we may be wrong, but they are not the enemy. People who grew up in a different religion than us are not the enemy. People who speak a different language or have a different color skin than we do are not the enemy. The real enemy are those spiritual forces arrayed against the reign of God's shalom. And the only way we stand against those forces is through God's power, not our own. And the only objectives in this battle are God's objectives, not ours. Practically speaking, what does this mean? It means that once we identify the real enemy, we then are called to enter into the same entrenched conversations which have led to our current culture war paralysis. We stand in no man's land and we say, enough of the hatred. Enough of the anger. Enough of pointing to the people in the opposite trenches and saying they are the problem. We must work out a way together to live in a just peace. And the key word there is just. Because if we don't, then it doesn't matter if our side wins a battle or a skirmish. Evil, in the end, is what wins out. And God will not have it. And then when we bring up the strategy of confronting evil, the question comes out, great, but what if those people over there don't agree to enter into the conversation the way we want to? We have to defend ourselves against them. And it's a natural instinct in this broken and fallen world. And in response to it, all I can say is look, really look at the armor of God. The image is that of a soldier, yes, but it is a soldier who accepts the provision of God for the battle and trusts that God is actually able to keep the promises which are made in Jesus Christ. See, truth and righteousness and a willingness to evangelize, faith and assurance of our salvation, they're more than just a get-up that we put on so that we can walk out into the world and say, I'm ready to slay your enemies, God. They are all things which bind us truly and fully to the image of the one who died for us, because they are all things that Jesus Christ lived out perfectly and expects his followers to walk in. It is telling that the only offensive weapon listed in this entire getup is the word of God. Because the word of God cuts us just as much as it cuts anybody else. It reminds us that we are the problem just as much as anybody else. And it calls us to repentance and to new creation just as much as it calls anybody else. And so it's in God's strength, in his strength alone, and in God's armor alone, that we are able to rise up between the culture war trenches, between the oppressed and the oppressors, between groups which hate each other passionately, and stand fast. And the amazing thing about this, when you read that passage out of Ephesians, is that there is only one battle stance that Paul tells the church to take up. It is prayer. Not a prayer meeting, not a special event, not even a devotional time, but literally prayer at all times. Prayer for ourselves and for other believers, that we will continually be aligned with the heart of God and the image of the Messiah, Jesus. Prayer that we'd stand in God's strength and in God's armor and call all people to stop seeing the enemy in the other, those who are not like us, and start seeing in humanity what we really are, what God has declared that we are, the image of God. If we do not, then God help us all. Amen.